In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. I just am here proclaiming the Word of God. We are looking at the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, about that time, Herod the king, this is the Herod that was very interested in seeing Jesus. And we remember Pontius Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. He was looking for some kind of a miracle. This was during the Passion, but the Lord did no miracle. And Herod and Pontius Pilate were enemies, and as a result of him sending Jesus to Herod, they became friends. Herod is kind of a crazy man. He's a crazy man, king of Israel. The Caesar was the real king, but he's kind of like a figurehead king. So about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain people of the church, to persecute the church. And this is what he did. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, cut off his head. He killed James. Now, which James is this? This is James and John, the sons of Zebedee. These are the two that Jesus walked by while they were washing their nets with their dad. And Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And James and John left their nets to follow Jesus. Now, isn't it interesting? When they left their nets, because Jesus was electric, you know, They just dropped everything and they followed Jesus. James had no idea that his head would be on the chopping block. And yet, we see that he died a martyr for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. He killed James, the brother of John, those are the Zebedee brothers, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. These were the days of unleavened bread. So this is the spring. He wants to please people, so they want to put Peter in jail. And this is what they do. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Now, the prisons that Peter was in is not like the prisons of today. You know, they were dark, they stunk, they were disgusting. Peter is kept in prison. The next line tells us what's happening. But prayer was made without ceasing from the church unto God for Peter. I want to tell you that when we pray, God hears and answers prayer. And when we pray without ceasing, we know that he is going to answer. God hears and answers prayer. Now, the church has just lost James. His head was just cut off. Now, their leader, Peter, is in jail. And so they are praying without ceasing for Peter. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So we see, you know, he's really, really guarded and is really, really chained. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon Peter, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and said, "Rise up quickly," and Peter's chains fell off from his hands. Now, this is an angelic visitation. Today is the feast of the guardian angels. You know, that each one of us has an angel that looks at the face of God. This angel came to free Peter. He filled the prison with the light of God. This angel is God's angel. He is a messenger. An angel means messenger, one that is sent. One that is sent to help us who are on the way to salvation. So the angel tells Peter, we're getting out of this place, and he taps him on the side, and the chains fall off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, cast your garment about thee and follow me. In other words, get dressed. We're leaving this place. We're leaving this dump. And he went out and followed him. But he didn't think it was true, which was done by the angel. He thought he was seeing a vision. This is so important, you know. This angel came from heaven to release Peter, but Peter thinks he's having a vision. He doesn't know it's all for real. He doesn't know that God sent the angel to deliver him. He doesn't know that he is so important in the eyes of the Lord that God sent an angel to break his chains and to deliver him from this prison. He doesn't know any of that. He doesn't know any. He thinks he's having a vision. But anyway, when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, and the iron gate opened to them of its own accord. Now, this is amazing. We are used to doors opening because of electricity. This is before electricity. The iron gate opened of its own accord, letting Peter and the angel out. This is amazing. This is totally amazing. Let's continue. And they went out and passed on through one street. Forthwith the angel departed from Peter. Now he doesn't need the angel anymore. When Peter came to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. I want to talk a little bit about angels. I want to talk about their ministry. They are sent from God to help us who are on the way to salvation. I want to tell you that angels are always around us when we are praying. The other night when we were having praise and worship, the Lord said, the angels surround you. The angels of light surround you. Now I'm going to tell you, angels are every place where God's people are. Angels are every place where God's people are. And I remember a classmate of mine. He's a wonderful guy. He loves the Lord. He was a missionary in South America. But one thing, he didn't believe in angels. I don't think he still does. Well, it was his first year that he was ordained, and he was driving. And as he was driving, he fell asleep. And he heard this most beautiful music. And the car was heading toward a ditch. He woke up when he heard the music, and he pointed the car in the right direction. Now, the point of the matter is, he was hearing this beautiful music. He checked the radio. The radio was not on. He checked everything else. Nothing was there. He was hearing music from heaven. He was hearing the angels that he didn't even believe in that were singing songs and chants unto the Lord. He said to me, I still don't believe in angels. He said, I know that was the Lord. The Lord did that. I said, yes, the Lord did that. No doubt that the Lord did that. But I know the Lord did that through his angelic creatures. Because the Lord does things like that. He sends his angels to keep us in all of our ways. He sends his angels to help us who are on the way to salvation. He sends his angels to be with us as companions. This is reality. This is reality. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews." I remember almost seeing an angel. You might say, how do you almost see an angel? I remember being sleeping in my bed in Paris Street, and I remember that I saw in my sleep someone was looking at me. And I opened my eyes quickly, and it was gone. I didn't catch it. I didn't catch it, but I knew there was someone looking at me. When I'm sleeping, I have that sense. There was no human being there. I believe that was the angel that was protecting me even while I sleep. You might say, how do you know that? I don't know that. I do believe that. That God sends his angels to pray for us. I have an angel that's looking in the face of God right now. You have an angel that's looking in the face of God right now. This angel is busy about doing the work of God to help you, to help me, who are on the way to salvation. That's Hebrews 1, the last verse. These angels are ministering spirits, and they are sent to us to help us who are on the way to salvation. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So he goes to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark, and they're praying. And what do you think they're praying for? They're praying for their leader. They're praying for Peter. They're praying, you know, with all devotion. They're praying with outstretched hands. They're praying with all their heart. They're praying that God would protect Peter. They're praying all these things. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a young woman came to answer the door. Her name was Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told the people who were praying that Peter stood before the gate. Now let's remember, these guys and girls, these Christians, are praying. They are praying for Peter. They are praying that God will do something. Now God does something. Rhoda recognizes the voice of the leader, Peter. Rhoda recognizes the voice and said, this is what they say, Peter stood before the gate, and they said unto Rhoda, "You are mad. You're mad. I can't be. It can't be that this is Peter. He's in jail." They had no idea the power of their prayer. It sounds like the church to me. The power of the prayer of people, that God does what we pray for. Take no rest and give him no rest, the scripture says. They had no idea that the Lord was rescuing Peter. They even called Rhoda mad. You are mad. I'm talking to you now. When you pray for something and the Lord does it, don't say it would have been done anyway. Don't say that. I tell you, I was praying just last week for a little boy, a boy that was in a coma. And my prayer was very simple. Lord, intervene, 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 intervene. And after I prayed, 20 minutes later, he started moving his arms. Do you want to know what? The Lord intervened. The Lord intervened. We're going to be voting on this whole thing about assisted suicide by a physician. And if you are 6 months to live, have 6 months to live, you can take the pill. Well, a man came to me several weeks ago, and he said to me, "Father Tom, I came to see you last November. They gave me 3 months to live. They told me to fix my will," and so on and so forth. He said, "I am cancer-free." He could have got the pill. He could have got the pill if Obamacare passes, if physician-assisted suicide passes. I'm telling you. And you know what he did, which I thought was the best thing? He brought somebody who had cancer so we could pray with that person. When we pray, God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. What did Catherine Kuhlman used to say? "I have been waiting for you." Just know that the Lord hears and answers prayer, and everything is going to be all right. Just know that the Lord hears and answers prayer. But the church is praying constantly for Peter. And when Rhoda says Peter is outside the door, they say to her, "You're mad. You're out of your mind." But Rhoda constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." And now they're making excuses. Now they're getting spiritual. You know, it must be his angel. It can't be Peter. If you're going to pray and God answers your prayer, and you're going to say after he answers your prayer, "It would have happened anyway," don't bother to pray. Just don't bother to pray. Don't insult the Lord. Don't insult the Lord. God hears and answers prayer. These people had been praying with all their hearts for Peter. And now they're making excuses. It can't be Peter, because rationally we know he's in jail. We know that he's in jail with chains. We know that the guards are keeping watch over him. This cannot be Peter. It must be his angel. Oh, the faithless church, the faithless church. And I'm telling you, we're the same way. We're the same. It can't be Peter. It can't be Peter. But it was Peter. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. They were astonished that their prayers were answered. Do you see? We've all gone through that school. I'm going to tell you the name of the school. The name of the school is the School of Unbelief. We have all graduated from the School of Unbelief, all of us. And we know what it is not to believe. We know what it is not to take God at his word. We've all graduated the School of Unbelief. Even the early church graduated that school. This cannot be Peter. I'm very sorry. We know he's in jail. We know that the chains are binding him. We know that they have men that are sleeping by his side. He is being watched over so he doesn't escape. This cannot be Peter. Rhoda, you're mad. And yet, their prayers were answered, and they were astonished. Why should we be astonished when our prayers are answered? God hears and answers prayer. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Why should we be astonished? This is just the way it is. God hears and answers prayer. We should be happy. We should be thanking God. Today, I lost something. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, help me find it. Please help me find it." And I knew I put it under something or in something. I remember that much. And finally, I went to the chest of drawers, and I looked through every card, every birthday card. I didn't find it. And then I looked at the next pile, and there it was, under the pile. There it was. I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." You might say, that's kind of a stupid thing to pray for. You know, anything that concerns us is not stupid. And the Lord will help us and answer prayer. I tell you, he answered my prayer. He found that check. It was a check that I have to give to my brother, part of it. And I didn't know what to do. I checked and I couldn't find it. I said, Lord, you've got to have me put my hands upon it. And he did. He had me put my hands upon it. But Peter, beckoning unto them with hands to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Peter had unbelief too. Remember, he thought he was having a vision. I tell you, there's more unbelief in us than there is faith. And God, thank God, he doesn't measure our unbelief. He says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou moved into the sea. You only need the faith of a mustard seed. And I'm going to tell you that faith and unbelief do not go together. Faith and unbelief do not go together. It would be a good thing for you to write down all the times that the Lord has answered your prayers. It would be a wonderful thing to write it down. I prayed for a job and the Lord got me the job. It was the last minute and he got me the job. I prayed to enter a school and the Lord had me go to the school. I prayed that if the Lord wanted me to be a priest, that he would open the door to the seminary, and he did. He opened the door to the seminary, and it was a miracle. It was a miracle. The day I went was, well, the day I went was because I said, Lord, if they don't call me to substitute teach today, I will go to the seminary, and I will get an application. And I was teaching in Boston, substitute teaching, and they always called me on a Monday because the teachers wanted an extra day off. So no one called me that Monday. It was the only Monday they didn't call me. So I went to the seminary, and I met this lady, Loretta. She said, what can I do for you? I said, I'm looking for the rector.
He's not here.
And I'm saying, oh, isn't that wonderful? I got my guidance all wrong. The Lord doesn't want me here. I don't need an application. And now I'm going to look at the pictures of all that are on the wall. And down walks this person dressed in a black suit. He says, what are you here for? I says, I'm here for an application to the seminary. He said, well, I'm the rector. I'm the head of the seminary. Come into my office. And that's how it all started. It all started by prayer, answered prayer. When the lady said, he's not here, I wanted to say, hallelujah. I got my guidance wrong. But I didn't say hallelujah. I didn't say hallelujah. I said, okay, this is what God wants. Let's just see how to do it. Let's just see how to do it. Let's just see what God wants me to do. And he, beckoning unto him with this hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had become of Peter. I tell you, they probably got really punished. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, Herod did, and there he stayed, there he lived. Caesarea by the Mediterranean Sea. I tell you, God hears and answers prayer. He hears you. And he answers prayer. The only thing you need to do is to believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible if you only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Sing it with me. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Lord, I believe. Hit it. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Well, Father, you know what they're praying for. And you said if there are two or three gathered together in my name, there I am, Jesus, in the midst of them. Jesus, you are in the midst of us today. And I am praying for my intention and for their intention. I am praying with faith that you would stretch out your hand and do what you need to do, because we ask it in faith in the name of Jesus. We crucify that school of unbelief to the cross. And we pray, God, that you would hear and answer prayer miraculously. And when you do, that we would be filled with gratitude. Gratitude. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. Please, if you got one of our letters, answer it so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.